Fucking hit it, Nick. You're not waiting for nothing. Punch the button. What is he waiting for? Fuck me. It's episode 9 of the Willpower Weightlifting Podcast, live from the Red Brick. Welcome back, everyone. Joining us is Michael Farmer.
Good evening. What?
That's good evening,
that's
Mike.
That's what we normally do.
That's what we normally do. It is Geordie, the milk tray man.
Good evening.
Good evening. Captain?
Hello.
Yeah, there she is, on mic tonight. And myself. Right, you join us having presumably watched the last episode, episode 8. This evening, we're going to go straight into a training review. We've got lots to do, lots to catch up on, lots of things in the offing. Training review this week, or this cycle, because they haven't seen us for a few weeks. Michael, how is your training?
Yeah, good. Back to graft. Honest. I love it.
Back to graft.
Back to graft. That could be a name of a program.
Your program?
Yes.
Right. What are you on this week, Mike?
I'm on 8.
You're on 8?
Yes.
8 refers to the intensity level of Michael's training.
I feel 8.
You feel 8?
Yeah, I feel 8.
You felt 7 at the beginning of tonight.
I feel 8, no.
You feel 8?
Yeah. End of the week.
Yeah.
Bob on.
Bob on. Thank you very much. What was tonight's success story for you, Mike?
I power snatched 110, which was a personal best.
There you go, everyone. And if you've been following Michael's progress, he's snatched 131 kilos in competition, which we'll come to in a bit, which means you've closed the gap of your feeble power snatch to snatch ratio.
Yeah, we've always had a deficit sort of power snatching.
You've had, not we.
Yeah, true. And it was nice. Well, we've plugged the hole. We've done the work. We found...
We're plugging the cavern.
The cavern.
It's not a hole I can put my finger in. It's a fucking cavern.
Yeah. It was a fair deficit compared to my snatch, I feel.
That's a diplomatic way of saying yes.
Yes. But yeah, 110's banging, I think.
It looked right. Very controlled.
Yeah, and I've never had sort of breaks in a power snatch before. Power cleans, yes, for whatever reason. But now we've developed this ability to be able to control it and stop.
Yeah, and the result is 110. Looks like there's a 5 kilo any point there, Mike.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll take us to about 88% of the ratio, which is about fair. We want the ratio between 87 and 90%, everyone. Or coaches. Or athletes. And what else did you do? No, you just had some squats.
Just some squats.
Yeah. We're going to come back to your European success. But after the Europeans, I think I wrote on the program Clean and Jerk Fitness.
Yes.
Explain to the viewer what that means, please.
So our last pre-competitions, I've gone 9 for 9 snatches. And my past 3 competitions, clean and jerk, I've gone 3-2-1. So it's obviously an area to address. So now our training focus is the clean and jerk, more specifically the clean and jerk fitness, which
means
having the ability to clean and jerk at the last clean and jerk competition, which is obviously the most important lift.
So let's go back a cycle and two. We built the clean and we built the jerk because you had an attempt at 180, I believe, in your home gym of Caerphilly CrossFit.
Yes.
Right. So that was a close one. I think you hit 1070 that day.
Yeah, 1070. Went straight to 80.
So if you were looking at the numbers independently, you'd say, well, the fucker's clean 160. He's jerked 1070, had a good pop at 180. Everything should be right. But it's a little different on the platform, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's an amalgamation of the two, and it's very different to... a clean and jerk is very different to a clean and or jerk, and that's what we're trying to address now.
Yeah, and of course, going heavy clean and jerk, like maximum effort clean and jerks in training, is something that we probably steer away from to a degree because of the demand it places on your recovery.
Yeah, like...
Historically.
Historically, a heavy clean and jerk will put me out for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And I'm a fast recoverer, so to put me out for a few days...
You're just fast anyway, Mike, aren't you?
It's fairly substantial.
Yeah.
But now, if we look at building capacity through clean, clean jerk, clean squat jerk, we're still getting the same stimulus of a very heavy cleaning jerk without the fatigue of killing me with a maximal effort.
And I think I've written in my mind's eye somewhere between 1050 clean, clean jerk and 1055.
Yeah, if we can work in those zones, well, it's golden, isn't it?
It's cold. Yeah, it's cold. Mike said it. Jordy, your training tonight produced what?
A power snatch of 126 and then a power snatch attempt. A power, as they call them, at 130. Yeah, it's all right.
Tell you what I've noticed is your timing on your power snatches seems to have clicked.
Yeah, I was speaking to Joe about this earlier, and I think...
Joe Walton, the guy who lost us the fucking military comp. Don't forget that. No offence, Joe.
He's doing really well. but yeah, no, the power snatch is something that we've definitely excelled in of late, and it's somewhere that I really think we can... it's an exercise we can create into a very big strength of mine. It's actually something that I want to transfer the qualities that I'm getting out of my power snatch into my snatch, which has never been
agreed.
The case. So my ability to, after the finish, to snap under the bar is definitely something that's improved over the past sort of month, I would say. And I think, you know, on a good day, would be power snatching 135, which is where we need to be. And I definitely feel like there's been a tremendous amount of improvement in that.
I noticed the timing seemed to improve as you went through your sets. I think it was 17:22, was it? Mm. And so I was watching from afar, and watching you time it, then you seemed to be able to catch it in more control. You got that timing right.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of getting the snap through the hips and then the snap into the receive. You know, a fluidity in that movement, and it's something that, you know, I was speaking to Joe earlier, thinking of maybe doing power snatches in my warm-ups in the snatch and then riding them down and just getting that intent through the third pull or whatever you call it, into my snatches as well.
That's something that we did 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, and it's something I want to do again.
And I think you're ready for it now. Mm-hmm. So that's all very good. And what's the focus on your training? You're at what? What number are you at?
7 this week.
7?
Yeah. And it's been like, yes, last week was a very, very conservative week, but it was a week of that needed to be conservative. It's just, you know, finding out. We've increased the number of sessions to 5 a week.
We have.
From 4.
Thanks, Radu.
So it's seeing how that has an effect on the body and the parts of the body that are likely to get stressed in these times. And there hasn't been any stress. You know, the squat load, the frequency of squatting has increased by a session. The lifting is now 5 sessions a week. So that dynamic element is has gone up, which typically affected the knees. And the knees feel fantastic. This week's a 7, and it just feels very conservative within. I feel like I'm lifting within myself at the moment, but that's, we'd rather that than over egg it and have to.
We don't have another option. We have to build your training into, you know, proven recovery volume. Mm. Michael's different. He's on 6, 8, 7, 10.
Yeah.
Where in 2 weeks' time he's gonna have a fucking massive week, whereas yours is 6, 7, 8. Probably 6.5, 7.5, 8.5. We're going to layer them in as you get to your next competition, which we'll do in a second. But all in all, you've recovered well. Training's gone well. The movements have been high quality. We focus more on squats and presses in this earlier phase, and pulls, of course. So the pulls are back on being substantial.
Yeah.
We've started off putting on the fractionals, making the difference with the small plates.
Yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to is, so where numbers would typically be 10, 15, 20, 25, now it's increasing that average intensity by going 12, 17, 22, 27, and expressing those numbers regularly. You know, they're only subtle differences, but they make all the difference cumulatively through weeks, months.
Yeah, and the body can get accommodated to the usual jumps, and you have to sort of interrupt it a little bit, make it think a little differently, ensure that you can produce the same quality at these higher absolute intensities throughout your training. And all we're looking for is that little sweet spot whereby we've got the recovery right, we've got the stress right, we've got the adaptation process right, leading you into some fucking, I want you stronger, fucking build the back squat, build the pull, and then see what happens. Captain, we spoke briefly off mic, and your training is going very well.
Yeah, it's better this week. It wasn't so good last week after the virtual.
Explain why.
Well, I was a bit, my back was a bit bad last week, so I didn't complete the 10, and I did today, so that's good.
Right, the 10 snatches.
10 snatches, yep. 10 clean and jerks, and they felt much better today.
So, as the viewers will obviously know, we've been managing the legs and the back and increasing the frequency of squats, and how are you feeling about all that?
Good, good, yeah. Legs are good, again, and staying good, so.
So we had a little discussion about, you were saying, I need to do clean front squat jerk.
Yeah.
What was the conclusion of that conversation?
Not to do it.
Well, it wasn't not to do it. It was the emphasis of the clean front squat jerk is potentially to fatigue the jerk.
Which is not what I need.
No, you want leg strength coming out of your clean, which will be front squats.
And it's just about squatting more at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, getting the balance right, because we, again, we have to be sensitive to what you can do and recover from. And then over time, we're going to alter the dynamics of what we put in. So at the moment, we've got back squat, front squat, breathing, and back squat.
Yeah.
And then we're perhaps going to go front squat, back squat, front squat.
The recovery of clean and jerk heavy is the most for me, isn't it?
It is the most demanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's, it's demanding for you because the structure has to work hard. Yeah.
It can, which is what I'm learning.
Yeah. So we're putting breathing front squats in, and we don't have a video on breathing front squats, but I think I should do one. Yeah. It's when the athlete takes 3 breaths down and 3 breaths up under tension, forcing them to brace in their core. It's a favorite exercise of mine, and it ensures that the athlete is able to brace whilst breathing, which
very
makes
hard.
Sure that the diaphragm is engaged and all of the muscles stay contracted whilst you're able to aspirate on the way down and on the way up. Very effective, isn't it?
Very.
Good. I think I've created that. I don't know anyone else who's made that shit up. Right. So who else has trained well this week of note?
Joe? Yeah.
What's he done,
good
Mike?
Week.
Go on. Spill it.
He did a clean with pause. Front squat jerk at 170, which is
a brilliant night.
Nice
that was.
Yeah, I think you blew your top on fucking Wednesday. Didn't have a lot in the tank today, did you, Joe? No, he's off camera. He's a bit shy, holding his wrist. At his KFC or whatever he's eating. Weighing 127 kilos, did I hear this week?
Trim, yeah.
Yeah, Joe's in the supers. Yeah, he did lift well. He did a 130 deadlift snatch. Was that right?
Yeah. Oh, that was mint as well.
Yeah, really he was mint. Moving well on Wednesday. So note to self: only fucking get him heavy once a week. Yeah, midweek is his best time of the week. Who else has had a good week's training?
Charlie started moving his feet again, which is quite.
Oh, that was interesting. Yeah, hearing the fucking. The crack of thunder.
It's exciting, mate. It's
yeah.
exciting.
Yeah, it was.
It's, you know, I mean, there were a lot of oohs and ahs. Yeah.
So, Charlie's not moved his feet for some time. 2 years. 2 years. That's quite a bit of time.
Sometimes. Yeah.
So, he found an efficiency with his pull back, I think that was, well, a couple of years ago, so whatever time in this fucking fucked up time it all is. What he noticed was because the pull was more efficient, he found the lifts so much easier, of course. Now we're hypothesizing that he can move his feet dynamically and retain the efficiency of the pull. So we're going to test that. Charlie's been in the wars, bit of a shoulder, hips tight, going through the rigors, readapting his body. But, yeah, doing well. When's your next competition, Charlie? What's your next one? Think a bit faster, please. We're fucking live here. When is it? December. December, well seniors. You qualified? Yeah. He's all qualified. Good. So he's got the well seniors December, plenty of time.
Rhiannon had a good session Wednesday.
Yes, you did, Rhiannon. She's had a little bit of a back reoccurrence. The back can sometimes offer a little bit of tightness for Rhiannon. What did you hit? 67, 85, clean, and one front squat.
Yeah.
So that's that was good, because a few weeks ago we were doing fuck all, wasn't it? So we're back on flow. Yeah. The gym's... I think the gym's sort of doing the hard yards at the moment. It felt fucking pretty tough tonight. In fact, it's been a tough week. It's been a full moon, everyone.
Full moon training.
Full moon in Aries.
Blood moon.
Full moon in Aries. Heavy as fuck. I had to remove myself from the gym on Monday. I couldn't fucking do it.
Start of the week as
well. I said to my coach, Tom Jolly, I said, right, I'm off. I'm fucking prickly. I am seconds away from fucking combusting, which I think I did at Rhiannon on Tuesday. Sorry, Rhi. Know when to take yourself out of the gym, coaches. If you're no fucking benefit, get yourself home and eat your food, light the fire, and be with your family. We've had a European Championships in fucking Lappiland in Finland.
Yeah.
It looked fantastic. The venue looked amazing. The hotel rooms were fucking splendorous.
Yeah.
What was the food like?
Dog.
What?
Was it really?
Dog? What does that mean? Is that bad?
I'll speak on the food, because I don't think Mike's qualified in this department.
He's only just started.
Qualified.
Mike, you've only just started eating the last fucking 6 months.
Yeah, true.
The breakfast was splendid.
What was breakfast? Tell me all about it.
Well, it would be... scrambled eggs with reindeer black pudding and sourdough.
Reindeer black pudding.
Yeah, sourdough, and there'd be like cured streaky bacon and salmon, like cured salmon and things like
that. Why don't you breakfast five times a day?
But then obviously the lunch and dinner is mass catered in the venue, and it was reindeer, it tasted like ass, I'm going to be honest. But the
what cut of meat was it, George?
It was Donna. It was a kebab.
Reindeer kebab?
Yeah, it was.
I've never heard of such like.
Oh, it was horrendous. But the chicken was all right. The salmon was brilliant because it was presumably fresh.
Did they overcook the salmon, Joel?
No, it was really, really good. I mean,
that's all right.
But yeah, overall,
important to me.
The lunch and dinner wasn't.
What were the carbs? What was your options? Potatoes?
The rice was the worst rice.
The rice tasted like oats. It genuinely.
Was it oats? Right.
And then it was like just peeled boiled potatoes.
Yeah.
Very bland. The chocolate mousse was banging, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was nice. Apart from that.
So they do a good mousse. They do good breakfasts.
Yeah, yeah.
Kebabs. Mm. And oat rice.
Oat rice.
Mm-hmm. Oat rice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they sauna.
Oh, they fucking sauna. More saunas in Finland per capita than any other country on the planet. And they have the highest sperm count in Europe.
How many times did you sauna?
Take that to the sperm bank.
Sauna. How do you? Sauna twice a day on average.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he had a beautiful room. I had like mine looked gutted. Like it was about to fucking renovate the thing. Mm. Like no fridge, no sauna, no nothing. But yeah, sauna in his room, and then the communal sauna. And the communal sauna had like this long window overlooking the forest.
Fucking hell.
And you just, beautiful, aren't it? You would just sit and stare into the forest.
Our sauna overlooks the fucking Kazi.
And the Krakow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Not quite the same. But
wow.
Yeah, the saunas were brilliant, and they were fucking hot, and there was... I mean, obviously, cold showers were cold as well, because it was very, very cold there.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, that was probably the highlight for me.
Outside the competition.
Well, no, it was the highlight.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, no, it was a lovely trip. Very beautiful country. Fucking dear as anything. Very expensive.
Yeah.
A pint was about €9. So, yeah. But
that's about £8.70 in sterling, everyone. Unless you're buying it on crypto.
Did you have many of them, John?
Pardon?
Did you have many of them?
I can't divulge. I had a few after the competition.
A few after, right. Mike, you room with the fucking bear from Glasgow?
Yeah, I was very happy sharing a room with Jason. We had a tremendous trip. We both saunered up in the morning, nice and early, get over any jet lag of if we had
jet
any.
Lag. It's a fucking 45-minute fucking schlep.
No jet lag.
But it's different time zone, so it's a little bit different.
It's an hour ahead, isn't it?
Two
hours. Yeah.
Either way, we saunered in the morning.
When you're as fast as Mike, you're very sensitive.
Sensitive to time.
You're a sensitive scientist, Mike, aren't you?
Yeah, we shared a room. We trained together every day as well. Shared a bar, which is quite weird. People thought it was weird on...
Weightlifting bar, not the fucking place where he gets his whiskey.
No.
Jason and I fucking smashed a fucking bottle of whiskey, didn't we, Jord? Yeah. In Poland back in the day.
Yeah.
We fucking smashed it.
Came hand in hand, didn't you, to pay.
Yeah. Good lad, Jason. Got a lot of time for him. So you breached him in the saunas?
Yep.
Not breached as in fucked him, but, you know, initiated him into the saunas. But, yeah.
Stay quiet there.
Don't speak, Mike. Don't speak. You're under contract. Right. Good lad. Trained well. What? Bleep?
Yes.
That was a cut.
All right. Okay. Wow. Okay, got it.
I will say
understood.
As well, when I arrived late.
And we're back. They'll never know. Right, go on, George.
I arrived a bit later than Mike. So Mike flew out with everyone, and then myself and Omar flew out later. And Mike was very, very, he was heart and soul of the party when I got there.
Thank you.
He was a different man.
Different man.
Huh? He was very beansy when I got there.
He's his own fucking man.
Bossing orders and all that sort of thing. I had to knock him down pegging.
What? You had to pull rank before his Sinclair fucking knocked yours out of the park, was it yours?
No Sinclairs in the jungle.
Raz.
Yeah. Wow.
No, it was a good trip. It was a shame that I wasn't there for the duration of him being there, because it would have been nice. It was really, really lush when we were all there together.
Yeah.
Because we've all gone through the years together, you know, me, Mike, Chris, Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying this is probably my favourite trip I've been on for the group, because we all got on so well. We all know each other. It's very harmonious, the whole trip. Whereas at other times it can be a little fractious, but it was bloody lovely to share a week with everyone.
Yeah, good coaching as well. Fucking outstanding. Thank you, Stuart. Thank you, David. Yep. Very good coaching for you both. And Mike, should we talk about your competition first?
Yeah. Cool.
Go for it. Opening snatch,
125.
Got it written down here, 125. Creamed it.
Thought I dislocated my elbow.
Oh.
I
thought. Oh yeah, you had that fucking bizarre little forward.
I thought I smoked it. I stood up, and then I just darted forward with my one leg. My elbow internally rotated, and I thought it was gone. But... So I went and sat down.
Done a few press-ups.
We'll get on to that in a bit. I didn't want to test my elbow because I thought it might come out. So I just had to go out for the next attempt at 128. And Stuart and Dave, they're like, come on, a bit more beans. And it was just like, right, well, if it's going to go, it's going to go. So I just put all the beans into it. And I think it's probably the best lift of the competition was 128.
It was beautiful.
Proper smoke there. And the elbow was fine. So that's very good. There's a video when I walk off and I'm shaking my elbow thinking, is it actually still intact? And it was, which is good. And then 131 for a lifetime PB. And I think it's always the place to lifetime PB as the platform. There was never any doubt of what was going on the bar. I didn't even speak to Stu or Dave about what the weights were on the day. They just knew. Again, brilliant coaching. 131, British record. Three snatches. Happy days.
Fucking days. Yeah, continuing the 9 for 9.
9 for 9. Woof.
Brilliant. And then on the clean and jerks.
Yeah, so 55 opener. My heaviest ever opener by 4 kilos, so it's fairly significant.
Fucking smoking.
And it's a kilo below my best ever clean and jerk. Open hot, innit?
Yeah.
That went well. And then 59 went on the bar, and I was a bit lapsed in that. I was annoyed with myself because it was definitely a waste of an attempt, that one. Just a bit lazy in the clean, came forward, and I was a bit buggered for the jerk, really.
Do you think that the coaches would be best by fucking hitting you or something on your second attempt?
Potentially.
Should I, like, post fucking Dave a cane? Get one of my canes sent up to fucking... Where's he? Up north somewhere?
Up north.
Yeah. Send him a cane. Just fucking beat Mike with my cane.
I just didn't look alive.
Show him the cane. Show him the cane. Remember this? That'll be enough. Right.
And then, well, it was the decision was made to go to 160.
Yeah. Right call.
Yeah, because I didn't have this massive emotional investment in 59 for whatever reason, and I think they recognise that. Again, great coaching. That's what a great coach will do on the day. 60 revved me up, bloody revved me up. And I feel like I smoked the clean. Bear in mind, I only cleaned it ever once. It was about a week or two ago from the competition. And reviewing the video of the 60 jerk, I had a little slip. And that's bloody annoying because a 160 clean jerk would have been...
Did you resin your feet before you lifted?
I didn't, and there was a lot of complaints about the platform being slippery.
Could have resined.
Mike's blaming the platform for missing.
I'm not blaming the...
You could have resined.
I could have resined. I could have made the jerk. It shouldn't matter, really.
Yeah.
Even if the platform's slippery, you should be able to make the jerk.
We're talking about it then.
But you have mentioned it. Anyway, but it was an outstanding effort, wasn't it?
I was really happy with my effort on the day.
Yeah.
I didn't sell myself short in any way, I don't feel.
Nope.
And that was the most important thing for me, always to go out and show my best self on the platform, and I feel like I did.
Yep, I agree with that. Jordy, did you show your best self on the platform? Queued up, Mike.
Yeah, cheers, boy. that's karma, isn't it, right there? No, I didn't, to be quite frank.
You had quite a different day.
I did, yeah. It was uncharacteristic, I would say.
Well, you missed your snatch opener.
Yeah.
When was the last time you did that?
I think I was about 16. Yeah, it was a 117 snatch.
Give me the comp, George.
Oh, actually, I got done for a press out at a Welsh. That was the last time I missed the snatch opener. But yeah, reviewing it was very frustrating because it was a good snatch. For whatever reason, it was slightly out in front and I just didn't hold on to it. And I think the most frustrating thing was, had I walked away with 146 and an attempt at 150, I'd have been content with the snatches. But the fact that I left an attempt on the platform, didn't have the opportunity to exceed my...
What's going through your mind? You miss your opener. What are you saying to yourself? Because we saw you walk off the platform pretty upset.
Yeah, it was a shock, really, because it's not something you plan on. And I suppose I was telling myself that had I have walked away with a 141 snatch at the end of the competition, I don't think I'd be able to live with that. So it was... Well, you either make this second attempt and then hit 46 and at least then you're a kilo off your best, or you've gone from having an off day to a pathetic day. That's the difference between the two. So it was really a non-negotiable that the second lift had to be just made, make the second lift and then have 146 on and give yourself the chance to do it. So then obviously the second lift was done and you make that lift and you're not happy with the fact that you've made 41 because you're just fuming with yourself. You know that you haven't got the opportunity to go 50 because the coaches aren't stupid enough to just fucking put 50 on from there. So they made the right call of going 46. And it was a really good lift as well.
Good lift.
How
did it feel?
It felt very conservative, very easy. Obviously, lifts to that level of your best, like to that percentage, are never going to feel easy as such, but it felt very fluid and it felt opener-esque.
Stop. Continue. I was going to sneeze.
So yeah, that was the snatches.
I thought so was breaking the gaff again.
No, I was literally going to sneeze. Sorry, I was going to fucking guffaw all over you. Well, we were sat here doing a live commentary that never went live. And we were in as much shock as you almost. We never thought you'd miss fucking 41 at all. But what I felt was you recomposed yourself well. And
so
you
well.
Put the quality in. Made an excellent 46. And in a way, we know where our long-term peak is, or the medium-term peak, which is the British Championships to a degree. So we're building different kinds of qualities for yourself and seeing it, what have we got? And what we had there was a 46. I mean, you made 47 in the British, not a few weeks earlier. So we're still peppering that, but we sort of peppering that with like disappointment now.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that was a really, you know, it took a lot of reflection on the day to then, you know, sort of break it down, decompartmentalize it in your head and say to yourself, right, you know, in July, 47 was the most profound and exceptional moment in my career so far. And yet 46 was one of the most disappointing in such a short space of time.
Oh, the yin and the yang.
But that perspective shift is essential if I'm trying to win the Commonwealth Games.
Fucking right.
You can't be content with the 47s and the 46s because they're not going to win you a gold medal.
The paradigm has altered.
Yeah, like, I suppose that was the main, you know, that comp had to happen that way. And when we reflect on it 12 months from now with success at the Commonwealth Games, that would have been a very pivotal moment in my journey. Obviously at the time it's complete disappointment and devastation, but it all happens for a reason. You know, I learned more about myself in that competition than any other competition I've done, where you expect to, you know, you have this expectation of yourself as an athlete of being such a performer. You know, I always do well in competitions. I always do well at especially on those platforms, like the biggest platforms, I've always exceeded my bests. And that was the one moment that I didn't. And that's important, that it bred a lot of reflection, a lot of sort of self-awareness. And then, you know, and it invigorated me to coming back, you know, training the very next day and just desperate to use that as an energy and a focus point then going forward.
Which I would say you have done.
Yeah, I've got it between my teeth now, 100%.
Almost even more shocking to me was the fact you missed your opening jerk.
Yeah, well.
It's like, isn't it?
The two things that would never happen. And ironically, the night before a competition like that, you have a meeting with your coaches and you talk about strategy. You talk about plan A's, plan B's, how you like your warm-ups, the sort of feedback you want. And I said to the pair of them, I said, look, let's get one thing fucking straight. I don't miss my openers and I don't miss my jerks. Literally, I just said that, right? And then what do? I miss both my openers and on the jerk? Sorry, lads. It's, yeah, fuck, you know, to be honest with you, looking at the clean and jerks, that was the easiest 80 has ever felt in the clean.
True.
And I think it was just a moment of complacency where I just stood up with the clean, thought, fucking hell, that just felt like an empty bar. And then next thing you know, I'm pressing out a jerk. And it's forgetting the fact that 180 kilos is still 180 kilos. If you don't apply yourself 100%, those weights are not forgiving weights. You're going to miss them.
So. Going to miss them. Then you smoked your next one in anger.
Yeah, and again, that wasn't a satisfying lift. That was a, you know, what are you doing? Why is this on the bar again? And then it was weird because the cleans felt so good. I actually, when I finished the 80, the first 80, I called for 85 to go on the bar.
So did I.
I said to the coaches, put 85 on. They said no, which I respect as well because, you know, they're flying you cross country to Finland to represent your country and you need to create totals. Otherwise, it's not worth it. So they kept 80 on the bar. But that's the confidence I had in my clean and my jerk. And then smoked 80. And then I sat down, 85 got put on the bar. And then as I got up for the attempt, I just felt this fucking like twinge in my lower back. And just thought, right, just park that, put it in the back of your head. You know. But then when you're going for a lifetime best on a clean, it's very difficult to switch that off, especially with your back. And I think that just, I sort of taught myself out of the lift then. But again, you know, there are things that you go home, you speak to yourself, you speak to Radu and you say, right, this is what I experienced in that moment.
Yeah.
And it's bred a lot more conversation.
And on our review, we noticed it's all down the left-hand side, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You know, it's the side where you've had the shoulder sort of oddness, call it that. The press out was on the left and the tightness in the back was on the left. So something's happening. And part of this next cycle is to create restoration in that side. And that's why we're at 6, 7, and 8 and we're not fucking pushing harder. We want to prove fitness in training. But all in all, what did you hit on the day? 326?
326.
Yeah. So, you know, if we'd made, as you said, if you made the first and second and missed the 50 and made the 85, we'd be 331 and we'd be saying, fucking hell, we've built momentum.
If the 85 was a made list, yeah, it would have been a very different
story. So it's a very fine margin, viewer, when you're in that level of competition after all the training, etc. But what we have done is maintained a very good level of competition preparation. And you know there's more in the tank. So we're sort of at one of those learning competitions where we have a consolidated total that's a disappointment. But we're philosophical about it.
Yeah, and there's not an element in the past, if a competition didn't go well, there's an obvious problem to address. There wasn't an obvious problem to address in this one. It was just, right, there's no element of panic coming back from the competition. It's like, let's just put the fucking work in. And that's exactly what, you know, that's exactly what we're doing now.
There we are. Right. Now, hang on. Let me get the old telephone queued up and call the stone hewer. It is time, viewer. Hang on. Ready to go, he says. All right. Fucking hell. Let's call him. Here we go. It's time for Medieval Minutes. Stone Hewer's on the fucking blow up.
Hello?
Stone Hewer.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can fucking hear you, Sunshine.
How are the acoustics?
How are the keeping?
How are the acoustics? Clearly not very good.
You're speaking in medieval, Stone Hewer. How art thou?
How art thou? Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm all right. Yeah.
Stone Hewer, last time you were fucking confidently boasting that you'd snatch well over 100 kilos in competition and a 10:30. What happened?
Yeah. Better than I could have imagined. 102. On the snatch.
Fucking hell.
And then 131 on the clean and jerk.
So. Good lad. And I've noticed you've hit some heavy numbers on the blocks recently.
Oh, last week we worked up to a 107. And then after a heavy block session, I took it from the floor. So, yeah, hit 107 on the snatch as well.
Fucking hell. What's your body weight, Stone?
95 and a bit.
Good lad.
95 at the minute, roughly.
Right, you're consolidating the poundage.
Yeah, it's getting to that point where I actually have to look after it instead of just knowing that I'm way under, you see.
Got it. How's your coach, Sean? He must be happy.
He's happy, bless him, yeah. He's been working shifts recently, so he's not been in as much as he wanted to, and I can see it's killing him. But I think he's all right, yeah. He's looking forward to getting back with us, I'm sure.
And when is your next competition, Stonehill? When are you competing next?
For me, I'm not too sure. I'm trying to get one in before the end of the year. Some of the Spartans are doing a competition in early December in Bangor, but the 96 weight class was full, so I'm not doing that one.
Would that be the British Open?
The British Open, November. There you go. Yeah.
November, that is, Stone Hewer.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I don't know. I'm not doing it, so I don't know.
you should have been on the fucking case. All our lot are doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Missed the boat, yeah.
Yep, you've missed the medieval boat. Right. Now, Stone Hewer, we noticed the other day. Well, Captain, you noticed, didn't you?
Saw it.
Sent me a little. Have you seen this? Stone Hewer, you were playing the ukulele, is that correct?
Yeah, it was.
Right.
It was.
So, I asked you to produce me a minute's worth of ukulele, which you kindly did. And the ukulele...
It was the hardest minute in my entire life. I've never played for more than 20 seconds, so it took a full evening of practice. Yeah.
Well, fucking, you can thank me later. So you're literally now being hoisted by your own fucking ukulele petard. It's going to run for a minute. When the music... Okay. When your introduction music stops, start your medieval minutes, and we're going to run the guitar underneath you. And when that stops, you're fucking out, Sunshine. Right, Nick, hit it.
Yeah. Right, this this episode we're looking into the word scourgy and the medieval origins of it. It comes from the word scourge. The dictionary defines it as a source of pestilent troubles such as caused suffering and widespread destruction. But the history of the word is much more interesting. A scourge is a whip or a lash, especially a multi-thonged type, used to inflict severe corporal punishment or self-mortification. It's usually made of leather, sometimes with knots on the end, sometimes with little flecks of metal, both of which are designed to cut the skin. For the most part, the difference between a whip and a scourge seems to be the religious connotations. In the 5th century, it's written that instead of being excommunicated, offending young monks were scourged or had scourgy done upon them. The word was at its most popular during the Roman era. A victim would be tied to a scourgy post and receive 40 lashes. There's a Roman scourge post that survives in the Vatican to this day, and it was said to have been used by Pontius Pilate when whipping Jesus Christ.
And we're back. Right, thanks to Stone Hewer for that. I've ordered three. Now, thanks to the sponsor, Big Dog Coffee. They've just sent us a bit of Mr. Beefy.
Yes, Mr. Beefy.
What is it, Mike?
It's a Robusta. It's a type of bean.
Right.
And it's high caffeine.
Is it?
Yes. It's 2.7% caffeine.
Oh, here we go. Comes the science.
Not 1.7 like normal coffee.
Right. What does that mean to your training, Mike?
It's amazing.
Yeah?
It's gone through the roof because of this coffee.
Fucking hell. Wow. Thanks, Big Dog, for your Mr. Beefy. Let's have a look. It's sweet, it's maple syrupy, it's brown sugary. Big Dog Coffee. Now, what? That was pretty good.
Cut.
We're going to talk about Plato's in training. So, you, Jordan, hit...
come on to me.
Yeah. You hit a long plateau.
Yeah.
What's it feel like being in the fucking abyss of the plateau?
Rather demoralizing.
Yes.
Aimless. You know, you don't really know how to come out of it. You feel like you're sort of trying everything, but nothing's going on. You feel like training's worthless. You know, it's a very, very dark time, and the longer the plateau, the harder it is to sort of kick out of it.
What's it taught you?
Patience. And that nothing comes free now. Nothing comes from just putting the work in and expecting results. You've got to do more than that. You've got to do more outside of the gym. You've got to apply yourself mentally more in the gym and just demand more from yourself. Absolutely. Be very honest with yourself. Am I doing enough? Where am I falling short? Sometimes you've got to strip things back. Sometimes you've got to reassess how you approach things in training. You've got to look at, you know, things that you would otherwise avoid that you've got to confront head on. So in my case, it was niggles and things that you just put to the back of your mind and forget about. Well, they were the things limiting me from kicking on. So you've got to approach that, you know, confront them head on. But yeah, I think it's taught me patience and that you need to apply yourself in a very different way than when you're in the plateau. You've got to change something.
Indeed you have. Mike, when was your last plateau?
Probably pre-British, I'd say. I came off the back of a very good 2019, a medal in Samoa, and then towards the start of 2020, we had the Welsh International, something it was called, and I PB'd. I did 25s, 54, and now the whole COVID thing hit, and I couldn't get anywhere near those weights again. It was a very confusing time for me in my training and my whole just general outlook on, if you haven't got training and you're not progressing in your training, then who are you? And it's a bit of an identity thing. Like, you're not Jordan the weightlifter, I'm not Mike the weightlifter, you're a human being. I think if you can separate the two and then have more enjoyment then from your weightlifting, and it's something to do in the evening and it's fun, it's going to progress even more so. And that's what I found now I've come out of a plateau. It all makes sense. It's you put in the graft and X is Y. You put X amount of training in, you will get result Y. And like Jordan said, it's about finding the 1%. What can you do to improve that if you are in this place of a plateau? And for me, that was nutrition and sort of general
mindset as well. I don't mean to laugh at you, Mike, but yes, that would be the most obvious one.
Maybe more than 1%, maybe 10. But yeah, like Jordan said, it's about controlling what you can control and influencing that in such a way that you all come out of this plateau, and it does happen. And now, again, I'm flying again. And it is training. It's just keep on grafting. And
test your resolve. Test your character. Test your belief.
I think Mike makes a very fair point, though, with enjoyment. You've got to find a love for the sport again, because you fall out of love with it very quickly when you plateau. You know, like I said, you feel worthless and aimless, and you quickly resent the sport. And if your life revolves around weightlifting, it engulfs you in, and you just become constantly, you fret in the lead up to training sessions. So you're constantly viewing your session in a negative outlook. You're looking at it and thinking, you're expecting failure, and then beating yourself up before you've even started the session. Whereas now, like, we both started full time jobs and things like that, and we're going into sessions in the evening, and it's an outlet, it's a hobby, and it's something that we thoroughly enjoy, and we're giving it a tremendous amount towards. But it's something to enjoy the evening with the people you love the most, and once you get that enjoyment and love for the sport back, you very quickly take the pressure off yourself subconsciously, and then you will kick on from there. But I think what Mike said is a very, very good point of just finding enjoyment in the sport again and falling in love with it. And that's one thing that I've felt now, certainly since the British. I love weightlifting more than I ever have done. And there was a time where both of us would sit and, you know, you have your sappuccinos every now and then where you sit down.
What?
A sappuccino?
What the fuck's that? It's not where you sit. Sapper fucking chino?
Yeah, it's where you sit and have a coffee and just moan about everything.
It's not a big dog coffee.
Absolutely not.
In fact, big dog, as soon as your coffee turned up, training did fucking spike.
Yeah.
True enough.
Correlation.
But yeah, like, you know, you have your moments where you complain about things, but the overall outlook on training for both of us now, I speak on behalf of myself and Mike, because we both talk about this a lot. We love weightlifting again, and we're not talking about it as a, right, we'll get to this competition and then we're fucking putting, you know, hanging our boots up and retiring. Like, I can't see my life without my evening sessions and training with the people I love the most. And before, it was something that would just loom on me through the day, and I would not actually enjoy at all. I would look forward to getting out of sessions and finishing training, because it took the pressure off then. Whereas now, there's no pressure. There's pressure I put on myself, and there's pressure of the goals that I've set for myself, and, you know, the aspirations we have in the sport. But the pressure's quickly subsided when you just love the sport and you're doing something that you enjoy again. I think that's a big part of it.
Captain?
Yeah, it's hard not to get caught up in what's going around you as well, because you want to be doing as well as everyone else. But then suddenly you realise that they might be maxing out or doing whatever on that day and you want to be there. But after that, you're not. So you just got to like stay in your own training programme and just stay focused on that and not want what everyone else has got. That's what's hard. That's what I find hard.
You were, was it 3 years ago, were unwell?
Yeah.
Which sort of kicked the fuck out of you for a bit.
Yeah. Months. Yeah.
It was many months.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was 4 months. I didn't come here for four
laid
months,
low.
Did I?
She did not.
No. It took about another 4 months for me to just come back in.
So that was a really tough time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To regain your fitness, your belief that you could be fit again.
I didn't believe it.
But the process is important at that point. It is important to manage where your lift is at. And we did, we were very gentle, weren't we? We just ticked along and managed that process very well for you. And then all of a sudden, as if out of nowhere, new fitness turns up.
But even like even now, just even after the leg situation, just being able to do 10 snatches and 10 clean and jerks tonight, before that would have, well, it was just more important that I did that tonight, not go as heavy as I can. Whereas before it would have been like, I'm not lifting heavy, I'm shit, I shouldn't do this. And now it's just like, I'm chuffed to bits that I've done 10 of that and 10 of that, and next week will be next week.
That is correct. So your difficulties have come with perhaps a little bit of unwellness, maybe some injuries that have sort of held you back a little bit. I wouldn't suggest that you've plateaued as a result of reaching a peak of your potential whereby then you stagnate. It's been sort of interrupted by fitness or the body. Whereas yours is different because you're 10 years in the sport. So yours ostensibly was the residues of training, which you had to manage, changes in your life, which you transitioned from living at home to living independently, getting a job, being responsible. Same for you, Mike, fucking nipping up the north and doing a degree or whatever the fuck you did. And then, you know, this past 18 months of bizarredom, whereby there's no competitions. And of course, you're competitors and you want to compete. And now you're a competitor. And so we have the competition calendar, which is fucking rammed full right now. And that is leading to applied focus in every dimension. You know, you do a games, you finish a games, and it's 4 years to the next games. Very easy to fall off the or wallow a little bit. And now we're fucking, what, less than, what, we're 10 months away from the Commonwealths? Everything's coming up fucking fast now, isn't it?
Yeah, and you sort of, you know, you, I was speaking to Dave about this out in Finland. You get to a point where people start to panic train, and they freak out about how close the competition is, especially at games or something where you realise, fuck, it's 6 months away. I don't feel like I've done enough, and now I need to fucking double down on training. And it's almost like you want to get that panic in you right from the outset. Or maybe not panic. Panic's the wrong word, but just that very clear awareness of how quickly time goes.
Does indeed.
4 years doesn't take very long in weightlifting.
Nope.
And before you know it, you are 10 months away. And then before you know it, you're fucking 2 months away. It comes extremely quickly.
It always amazes me how quickly, viewer, the year goes as I sit there writing the weeks in the ledgers, and I'm fucking writing the weeks away, and I'm on week one, week two, week three. All of a sudden, I'm writing week fucking 43 in no time. And the year really moves quickly. And all of the things that we can influence in a training year become, as you get more progressive, it becomes more challenging to, you have to elongate the time where you can make the influence. And I'm sure out there, viewer, many of you lifters are plateaued and stagnated. And if you are, give us a fucking shout. Call me. Send me a fucking mail. On the willpower, train at willpower dot fucking, what is it, Nick? Train at willpowerweightlifting.com, I think it is. I'm sure Nick can post edit in the address or put it in the show notes. But there are many lifters that contact us who have hit that place whereby training becomes challenging and they struggle to find the next level of maximizing their potential. And I really empathize with all those lifters who are in that position. And we like to help those lifters. And we get many calls in to the willpower of lifters who are in that place, and we like to help them. And I think we do a good job of doing that, especially if they can come down fucking red and black and fucking do a bit of training on a big Friday. True or not?
Yeah.
Great. Michael.
Yes.
It is over to you. Oh, Nick's queuing up the music. Got no headphones. Here it comes.
Nice.
The fucking Michael Farmer Eagles.
Every time.
Tribute band.
Right. So, today's segment.
He's in. I'm fading out, Nick.
This guy.
Fucking in. He can't fucking wait.
Jordan will like this one as well. So, it's your Instagram video is boring.
Whoa. Fucking hell. Who's?
Everyone's. No. So, you know, you see on the Instagram.
Wait a minute. Go on, Mike. Go on. Finish your piece, Mike.
You see people on the Instagram. They do doubles, triples, fours, not very often. but they drop the bar. They step back. And you're like, go on then. Where's the next rep? And they take bloody years. And it's boring. You just skip past it.
Oh, you're talking about lifters that are doing a double or a treble.
Right, yeah.
And then it takes them 45 to a minute to make three lifts.
Some of them put speed on, don't they? Some of them put the fast forward in between the reps. If you've got to do a post edit of your lift,
I'm
fucking
slow.
In now. I'm there.
It
don't take much. if you've got a fast forward in between reps and if you have to chalk up in between reps as well, which I have seen, you are.
Somebody chalks up in between reps?
Honestly.
Is this the same individual that rips their trousers?
I'd love it if there's this one solitary person who ticks all of these boxes.
if you are that person, don't contact me.
It's along the lines of like doubles that aren't doubles, which didn't go down too well the last time. But anyway.
What do you mean it didn't go down well? With whom?
Oh, this is another right.
Cut.
You can't.
Oh, are we cutting again? What is going on?
Sorry.
And we're back.
Wait a minute. And we're back. Right. Go on, Mike. Finish it off. So they make a lift. They come back in. But 10 minutes later.
Bloody ages, and it's boring to watch. You don't want to watch. You skip past it.
Right. Let's talk about the fitness level of that lifter.
Terrible. Not an athlete.
Could improve.
But let's talk about the why. Let's talk about the...
Why, George? Why do they do it?
You're trying to improve your fitness by doing doubles and trebles. You're putting yourself in a compromised position or more compromised and more fatigued by rep 3 than you are in rep 1. And if you're trying to mitigate the fatigue by stepping back and refreshing yourself, you are...
That's not the point.
That is just counterproductive. You're supposed to be fatigued and move under fatigue.
Right. Train 10 singles, not 5 doubles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In that sense, if you want to have a good rest period, then put more weight on the bar and train 10 singles. If you're looking to build fitness, do the fucking lifts. Put the bar down, set, go. Set, go. Set, fucking go.
And if there's a technique degradation to the point where you have to do that, then you're either doing too many reps or too heavy.
You have to go back.
You have to, yeah.
You're too far forward here. If it's 85% and you make the first one and 30 seconds later you're setting up for the fucking second one, you're not ready for that. I'm sorry. I need to see him fucking pronto. Tora, tora, tora. Attack, attack, attack. Let's fucking have it.
Plus, if you're training with someone... that must be fucking annoying to be sat there watching that. I mean, especially lately, it's been 3-4 to a bar at a gym, and you've got to get a click on. Like, Wazley would be loading your bar whilst you're lifting it.
he did do that on Wednesday.
He did that on Wednesday, yeah. I mean, but that's it. You know, when it's 4 to a bar, 3 to a bar, you've got to have a fucking click on. And if one of your training partners is stepping back and fucking fanning around for 20, 30 seconds.
Are these lifters that you've identified, Michael, solo trainers?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Do they train in the pack? Or
no,
are they alone?
No, they're loners.
Right. So, like, we've got a pack here. Got a wolf pack, haven't we, Captain?
Yes.
That's the fucking main wolf. Fucking Beowulf, as we've called her before. And this fucking pack trains fast. Doesn't it? At a rate of knots.
Yeah. We're fast trainers.
You guys the other day on Wednesday, that was fast.
Sponsored by Big Dog Coffee.
It is fast, but it's not female fast, is it?
No.
Like,
no,
just put that in perspective.
They made Ben Wasley look slow.
The fellas, right, you get on your cleaning jerks and the girls are doing their accessories at the end of the session and you're thinking, fucking hell.
But you've got to have a tempo in training.
Yeah.
There's only so much fucking testosterone that you got in your body available at any one fucking time, and there's only so much energy you have. And if you're, I don't know, if you take, let's say you've got 5 sets of snatches, 5 sets of clean and jerks and 4 sets of squats for argument's sake, that's a fucking 45, 50 minute session. Not 2 hours.
No.
What are you doing? Once you've fucking loaded the bar up, fucking get on with it.
Yeah, you don't need to waste time in training. You want to get the training done.
Got
to
get it done.
You know, do your accessories and then jump in the sauna, jump in the plunge pool, and you're way to go.
Or if you don't have those facilities available, but you still have to do the principle of getting the fucking training done. So perhaps these individuals are inexperienced in training with a fast-paced click, as it were, and need to perhaps visit the willpower and come down and have a fucking session. If you're one of those athletes that takes your fucking time, give me a shout. I'll fucking get you down here. I'll pay for your fucking bus ticket. Job done. Right. But on a serious note, like, you have to be fit. Because at competition, you don't know whether or not you're going to be out in fucking 1 minute or 7 minutes. Yeah. And it does work the other way around, does it not?
Yeah.
You know, that you could be fucking, like Meg trains at a fast pace. If the competition's at a slow pace, it fucking knocks her equilibrium off. She's off balance.
You have to slow us down.
Right. So sometimes it works the other way around. But in general terms, we are talking about your fucking fitness. And if you're not fucking fit to do 85% doubles, 80% doubles, 75% trebles, click, 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 not fit enough. Sorry, don't accept it.
And that's why I would say training with someone is always a benefit, because it does create a tempo in your training.
One Without finishes, even realising it sometimes.
Yeah, one finishes and you start. Like, I love training with Mike and Joe and all of those sort of people, where you just sort of, as soon as they've done their sets, you're back in the bar and it creates your own tempo, but subconsciously, you haven't got to fucking watch a stop clock on your fucking phone or whatever to keep your training going. You're just following the momentum of the gym.
Look, and there's a time where you slow it down, where you apply yourself and you're hitting fucking load and you're hitting load at quality. But that's pre-competition when you're doing that.
Yeah.
The bulk of your training must be at a tempo. It has to be. Otherwise, what the fuck are you doing? You're not doing training. You're just doing fucking lifts separated by time. Don't understand it. You know, whatever you think about the international lot, if you watch any Russian training hall, if you watch a fucking Chinese training hall, you will see them fucking hitting their reps, fucking bang, bang, bang. They don't fuck about at all, do they? No. Like fucking Ilya. He wouldn't fuck about. He just fucking crack, crack. It's done.
Yeah.
Fucking 7 seconds, there's a fucking double done. You know, he's walked to the bar, he's put his fucking hands on it, boop, boop, it's over.
I think, personally, a triple should be within an Instagram story. 15 seconds.
Right. Even though they're a minute now, Mike.
Stories.
Story.
The videos used to be a minute. It used to be 15 seconds.
What do I know?
I have no idea.
But, like, anyway. Instagram was perfect for weightlifting, wasn't it? Because it was 15 seconds cap, get it all done in that fucking time frame, done.
Yeah. And if you've got a set of 10... then you haven't actually done the 10, because you've done probably 5 or 6. And then the
fucking video cuts out.
Yeah.
Can I add to this?
You can add, Mike. You can add.
Boring setups in your Instagram video. Crop it.
Whoa. Hang on. Hold on. Explain.
Again, on the Instagram, PB snatch, you're like, cool, yeah, let's watch this. And take bloody years. They walk up to the bar, they drop down to the bar, they look at the shoes, they look at the hook grip. Just show me the snatch. Why don't you crop the video? Just show me the thing that I want to see.
Now, I've got a different perspective here, because I'm all about body language. And I want to see all of... So sometimes people send me lifts, which is that exactly.
Yeah.
And it's only the bit where they put their hands on the bar and they make or miss the lift or whatever it is. But I would like to see the 30 seconds preceding what's happened, because I like to see if demeanor changes.
Yeah.
Joe tonight, right? He was changing his demeanor as the weight got heavier. He was just rushing a little bit. And I came over, gave him a little bit of a fucking talking to. And slowed him down because he was advancing too quickly, you know. So, yes, I get it from the show me the lift perspective, but from the coach's point of view, I want to see all behavior. What behavior's changing? Are they whoopering and hollering? Are they now quiet? Are they fucking rushing to the bar? Are they taking their time? What's going on with the body language? But I get your point, Mike, for the fucking gram.
Story material.
Yes.
Just post the lift.
Agree.
For the gram, post the lift.
One more thing.
Go for it.
If you've got six sets of doubles at 85%, we don't need to see all of them.
No. I do.
Yeah, but that's but private.
Not on Instagram. But you don't need to see all of them because hopefully they all look the same. In which case, why are we watching?
Show us your last one.
Good point. If they don't look the same, viewer, am I on, Nick? Put me on. If they don't look the same, what the fuck are you doing? They need to look identical. You're training a fucking skill. Make them look identical. Great. Right. Crypto. How's it going, Jord?
Well, on the whole, very well.
Specifically?
Are you Ryan?
Yeah, protocol?
It's sort of lagging behind, but they're building a new
website. Bit of lag.
Building a new website, which will be released pretty soon. And
what's that got to do with the value of the fucking currency?
Well, it's going to be far more accessible.
Bitcoin's up, isn't it?
Bitcoin's up, Ethereum's up. I mean, it's all up, isn't it?
Nick, you're on Ethereum, are you not? Nope, you're out.
Cardano. Why is it up?
Mike?
I don't actually know.
You're old.
I'm out. I'd leave me out of this. Now.
But right. What's Cardano doing?
What is Cardano doing?
There's like a $2.25.
Is that up?
Yeah, it's up.
It's up.
It's up.
I still. But I have
why is it up?
Oh, who knows, Captain? This is fucking make-believe.
I don't know anything about
it. It's like
it.
Fantasia cryptocurrency.
Why in the world is it up? Why? Is there a reason?
Doesn't need a reason, crypto. Crypto just floats where it wants to. Okay. So it's all up except yours.
Yeah. Damn. Well, yeah, when you think about it like that. <It's>,
Press
up, Nick. And on that note, viewer... for more information on the cryptocurrencies, are you playing me out? Fucking get it up there, get it up there, get it up there. Thank you very much. Yeah. For more information on the cryptocurrencies and remote training, if you're a plateaued athlete and you want to call to willpower even, give us a shout. Train at willpowerweightlifting.com.
Fucking hell.
We will see you next time. Goodbye from Michael Farmer.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Jordan Sikars.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the captain.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me. Episode 10 will be next.